Well, please turn your Bibles tonight to the book of Acts. The book of Acts in the chapter number 28. I can't speak to Dr. Campbell, but I in no way view the titles to be easy or something straightforward to bring tonight. But it is a joy to be here. We do trust that we'll know the Lord's help service by service over the weekend. I count it a real privilege to be here and back amongst some friends. It's always good to be back in the pulpit here in Achillea. There's a gentleman who would listen to sermon audio from Romania, and he sent an email just the past week to say he had listened to a sermon of mine from Achillea, and it was a time whenever a spider crawled up this pulpit over my notes, and I made some comment on the thing, and he clipped out the bit and sent it to me and said, you should listen to this. Now, I haven't listened to it. I've been that was gone to the back of my memory, but it is a joy to be back amongst you here in Achillea, and good to see young people from Lisburn. Again, you're very welcome to the meeting tonight. If I can make a plug for the Youth Council Camp, just when I'm here, I might as well, some of you here, Youth Council Camp the first week in August. If you're between 12 and 18 and you want a holiday in Shannockmore Outward Bound Centre in Newcastle this coming summer, please let me know. You go and beg your parents for a few pounds, it's only a few pounds, and it's a 4-night, 5-day camp in Shannockmore this coming August. Please do let me know and get your application form in as soon as possible. Some of these young folks at the front can testify it's a good time. Isn't that right, Timothy? Yes. Acts 28, and verse number 16. Acts 28:16, and let's give careful attention to the reading of the Word of God. Acts 28:16, let's hear the Lord's Word. And when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard, but Paul was suffered to dwell by himself with the soldier that kept him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews together, and when they were come together, he said unto them, Men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people, or customs of our fathers, yet was I delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans, who, when they had examined me, would have let me go, because there was no cause of death in me. But when the Jews spake against it, I was constrained to appeal unto Caesar, not that I had ought to accuse my nation of. For this cause, therefore, have I called for you, to see you and to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel I am bound with this chain. And they said unto him, We neither receive letters out of Judea concerning thee, neither any of the brethren that came showed or spake any harm of thee. But we desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest. For as concerning this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against. And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed. After that Paul had spoken one word, Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto your father, saying, Go unto this people and say, Hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Be it known therefore unto you, that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed, and had great reasoning among themselves. Amen. We'll end the reading there. And again, we'll trust that the Lord will bless the word of God to our hearts tonight. Let's bow together in prayer, and again, let's just still ourselves in the Lord's presence and ask the Lord to graciously speak to us from his word tonight. Eternal God, we do thank thee afresh for the infallible, inerrant word of the living God. And we thank you that every word is God-breathed, and we rejoice, O God, that we are here to hear your word. And we pray, O Lord, that all who would hear with the physical ear would hear with faith tonight. And that, dear God, there would be faith added to the hearing of the word unto the salvation of souls. O Lord, save in our midst, edify the people of God, encourage us all in thy word, bless us this weekend. May all be done unto edification and for the great glory and honour of your name. For Christ's sake we pray. Amen. Amen. The text I want to leave before you really is in the verse number 26 and 27, where the words say, hearing ye shall hear, seeing ye shall see. Of course, there is there the reference to the hearing and the seeing. But to put into its context, we must see this in terms of the life account of the Apostle Paul. He has had a desire to preach the gospel in Rome. And we know that from the book of Romans itself. And here we see his desire realized. But yet he comes with a task that no one would envy. He has a date set in his diary to speak with a group of Jewish leaders. They are curious. Oh, undoubtedly they are curious to hear what this formerly respectable Jewish Pharisee had to say. Remember, Paul was, as Saul of Tarsus, was well trained in the Jewish customs. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. And he now comes in chains to Rome, and this group of Jews have a desire to hear what he has to say. But now he holds no respect. He's under arrest. He's bound with chains for his service to the Lord Jesus. They arrive in company. They have no time for Paul's faith. They have no time for the gospel of Christ. They have heard on good authority, if you look at the verse number 22, that this is a sect. The word implies that they view it as a heresy of the highest order. They view that what Paul is teaching is not of the Lord at all, but rather is error. So they are curious, but they are not open-minded. The company who will hear the word are prejudiced against the message. It's not an easy task to preach in such a context. It's hard to convince the prejudiced. But Paul's conviction regarding Christ is unwavering. We see there in the verse number 31 that he preaches the kingdom of God. He preaches those things concerning Jesus Christ, essentially proving that this man Jesus is the promised Jewish Messiah. And the response, as it often is mixed, verse 24. And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. And so when you contemplate this company, a Jewish company, yes, they all came with previous prejudice. They have their preconceived notions regarding the sect that Paul was preaching about. They all came. They all heard the defense and the arguments presented. Yet some believed and some believed not. All heard. All saw. But only some heard and only some saw. That's the confusion. Because that's what Paul states in explaining the division among the hearers. The division is verse 24. Some believed and some believed not. But in explaining that division, Paul draws from the Old Testament scriptures and quotes some words from Isaiah chapter 6. That's verse 25 through to 27. And in quoting Isaiah the prophet, he is showing that there is hearing and not hearing, and seeing and not seeing. And so tonight we are contemplating, yes, the gift of eyes and ears. But as we contemplate that subject, I want to ask you a question. Can you see? Can you hear? You say, well, bar physical infirmity, we can all see and all hear. And some of you are saying, well, I used to hear better than I can now, but essentially we can all see and all hear. But I'm telling you, there's a very strong likelihood that there are some in this meeting, and they do not hear, and they do not see. And so we're contemplating that with respect to the gift that God gives of ears and eyes. Now, as we explain this issue that only some see and hear, I want to first of all explore the issue of the wonder of hearing and seeing. the wonder of hearing and seeing. The quotation from Isaiah clearly is speaking about physical hearing. Hearing ye shall hear, seeing ye shall see. Physical sight, physical hearing. And there are those in verse 26 who clearly hear with the ear and see with the eye, and yet that is looked upon negatively, for they do not understand and they do not perceive. Just for clarity, in the reference here in Isaiah chapter 6, seeing and hearing are looked upon as one and the same thing, parallel terms, but hearing itself dominates. Verse 28, the Gentiles, they will hear it. So if you're confused from time to time, I'm probably going to focus more on hearing than I do on seeing, but the two terms come together in a number of portions in the Word of God, as we shall see very shortly. But leaving aside the effect of the fall on hearing, hearing does, it worsens with age, and some of you, yeah, that's right, it worsens with age, and so does sight. But sight, it can be bad when you're young. I have these on my face for a number of years now. And so hearing and seeing is affected by the fall. But still, we must be utterly amazed at the wonder of God's design of the eye and of the ear. Now, I thought I could come here and pretend to know what I was talking about. And then you throw a few medical students into the midst, and suddenly you've got to keep yourself accountable for what you say. Aye, 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 it's been a long time since I had to do this sort of thing, but it is a wonderful thing when you contemplate how God has made our physical eyes and our physical ears. That little black dot in the middle of your eye is used as a medium whereby light comes into your eye through a thing called a lens, and to that, to the back of the eye, you'll all know the name of it, the retina. You've all heard of those sort of terms. But the wonderful thing is, when the image from the light goes into your eye, it's upside down on the back of your eye. But it's so incredible that you're made fearfully and wonderfully that you can turn that image upside down, your brain process it, so when I look upon you, you're not sitting in your heads. That's a good thing. So as I see you, you're all sitting the right way up. But yet the image in the back of your eye, in my eye, has you upside down. But we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And that process is indeed a wonderful thing. But what's even greater is we do it with two separate images. We have two eyes, both of which have their own image. And yet, when you look out of your eyes, you see one thing. Hopefully. If you're seeing two of me, you need to see one of these medical students before you leave tonight. And they can tell you a good doctor to go to nearby. But anyway, that's the wonder of the eye. It is an incredible thing what God does in the eye. But you take the ear. The entire structure of the ear is made in such a way as to enable us to process sound. If I say a word, let's say the word word, you are able to hear that word and understand that I've just said the word word. And so that's a very wonderful thing. But what's happened there is, well, I have emitted some sound. I've said the word word. And there's been waves, air waves, that have transported from my mouth all the way into your ear. And you've two big satellite dishes on the side of your head, some bigger than others, and they've been used to filter those air waves and bring that down to a point sitting upon a membrane known as your eardrum. And that eardrum, again, please, I'm wrong here, put your hand up, students, and say, stop talking nonsense. That eardrum, that waves in the air, moves three tiny bones and sends a signal on nerve all the way to the back of your brain so that you hear the word, word. And it all happens in a split second. Now, I speak very, very quickly, but even allowing for that, you still can hear most of the words I say. You might lose the odd one, that's fine. But generally, you're hearing what I'm saying because God has made us in a fearful and a wonderful way. God has made us. I say that without embarrassment. I say that with a secular medical training, and I say that because the Word of God says that we're fearfully and wonderfully made. And even within our mothers, God's hand is upon us, and He is making us to see and to hear. And the Word of God says in Proverbs 20, the hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord hath made even both of them. Proverbs 20 in the verse number 12. But moving beyond and away from the ground that I'm not comfortable with anymore, moving from the medical to the theological, you should ask yourself the question, well, why? Why has God made us to see and to hear? Did you ever ask that question? Okay, you can sit in a meeting like this and you can hear sound. You can go and watch the news and you'll hear sound, but why has God made us this way? Well, we hear and we see because we are image bearers of God. Whether you believe it or not actually makes no difference. But you walk into this meeting and you sit on that chair and you bear the stamp of God upon your body. And part of that is the ability to hear. You see, animals, they hear. Animals see. But our hearing and our sight is different from that of the animals because our hearing and sight is attached to our understanding. And God has made us to hear because He hears. The Psalm 9 says, "He that planted the ear, shall he not hear? And he that formed the eye, shall he not see?" And thus we're shown in the Psalm there that our ability to hear and see is directly related to the fact that God sees and hears. Now, you all are confessional Christians, I'm sure, and you know that your confession of faith says that God does not have a body like man. And so God does not have a physical ear or a physical eye, but He has the ability to hear and see. And God has made us in His image. And hearing, particularly, is a vital aspect of communion and relationship. How many of you husbands have heard the complaint, "You never listen to me"? That was a few laughs anyway, so probably most of you there. Because there's understanding that hearing is part of communion, relationship, and fellowship. God has made us to hear that we would engage in communion with Him. We are in God's image, and God has made us so that we are suitably made to commune with God. And so as image bearers, God has given us eyes and ears particularly to enable us to see and to hear Him. So let's just focus on the issue of hearing then. It'll stop me saying hear and see. Just focusing on hearing for a time. And note the words of verse 25. "And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed after that Paul had spoken one word, well spake the Holy Ghost by or through Isaiah the prophet." The speaking of God, as our brother prayed, the unique ministry of the Holy Ghost, speaking as God through the prophet would have no avail if man couldn't hear. Now, of course, we have a Bible here. The Bible with black and white ink, of course, upon the page, is nothing less than the written record of the spoken word of God. You see, God is not like the idols. According to Psalm 115, they have mouths, but they speak not. But our God in the heavens is a God that speaks. And you hear because God speaks. Because God speaks, He has so designed you as a human being that you could hear what He says. And you could take in what He says. And, okay, listen, we're not going into the details of people who can't hear and all that. That's a different issue. But in the general rule of things, we take in truth through the ear gates. Preachers speak the word of God and people are converted. The gospel of Christ comes to the ear. God's gospel is spoken. And so God speaks as to be heard. And so I want to encourage you all, just as you sit here right now, to value the wonder of the ear. You may not like the look of your ears. That's between you and your barber, but you may not like the look of your ears, but it's a wonderful thing to sit in a meeting and be able to hear. And those who have lost that faculty, they bemoan the loss of the faculty. Do you know, Perhaps you could turn back to Isaiah 50 just for a moment or two. Just very quickly, and then we'll move on. But in Isaiah 50, we see a reference here prophetically that our Lord Himself, when on this earth, would value the gift of hearing. Even our Lord. We read, of course, in Luke 2 that Jesus increased in wisdom and stature. He grew in understanding as a true human. And in Isaiah 50 in the verse 4, and if you look at the verse number 6, you will see it's clearly referencing Christ. I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. The face like a flint in verse number 7 is a prophecy of the coming Messiah. But look at verse number 4. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. And so Christ could say that even as he grew as a young true man, he valued God's gift of hearing. And so I want to encourage you all here tonight not to despise the privilege by shutting your ears to God's truth. Okay, it is a joy to see the young people here tonight. And I say that particularly because when I contemplate the matter of shutting our ears to God's truth, I can't help but think back to the time when I was your age. It's not that long ago before any smart remarks were made. I remember as a young person, the age of 13, 14, 15, going to church and deliberately shutting my ears to God's word. You know, you can have your eyes open. You can look in the general direction of the preacher. But you're able to shut your ears to truth. And you can do all in your power to think about. I'm scared to tell you what you think about if you start thinking about it. You can do all in your power to think about this and that and the other thing. And you can make sure you don't listen to a word the preacher says. Now, I know as preachers we're not always easy to listen to. I accept that. But that's no excuse. Because we're bringing the word of God to your ears. And if you come to a meeting like this and you determine in your heart to shut your ear to the word, you are despising the gift that God has given you. It's a wonderful thing to have a hearing here and to hear what God communicates in the gospel. And so for the few of you who are here as parents, it's good to see you out tonight. I really encourage you to do all in your power to ensure that your children grow up with a desire to hear and to listen to what is said in the preaching of the Word of God. You see, I know what it's like, and the danger is the parent, although I get to preach and my wife gets the challenge of keeping the children, but as a parent, the temptation may be to leave church with a satisfaction because they sat still. They sat still. They were very good. Well done, Johnny. You were excellent today. You sat very, very well. But the tragedy is, as you go around churches, you see a generation of young people being raised to have a glass eye and a dull ear to the Word of God. And they've learned and they've conditioned themselves to sitting very, very still and looking as if they're listening, but they're not hearing a word. And as parents, we say, isn't that wonderful? They're sitting so well. But they haven't a notion of what's being said. And so can I encourage you to ask questions as parents of your children, to encourage them to turn up the passages that are being turned to. You've got to listen to hear what portion to turn to. And do all in your power to ensure that they will not despise the privileges of theirs. And of course, if you're older than that, the challenge remains the same. The wonder of hearing and seeing. Which leads on, of course, naturally to the second issue, which is the wickedness of the dull ear and the closed eye. Again, we're moving down to verse number 27. Having thought about the issue of the physical hearing, we see that there is an issue here, a concern about dull ears and shut eyes. You look again at verse number 27. Their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed. Now again, we're going to focus particularly on the matter of hearing. The Greek word that's used here for heavy, their ears are dull of hearing. That word dull speaks about the issue of heavy. Again, if you've ever gone to the doctor, you said, "Doctor, I can't hear a thing." And the doctor gets that wee thing out, what do you call it? Horoscope. He gets the wee horoscope out, I can't remember. And you look through the ear and the doctor goes, "Eh!" Or something like that. They would never say that out audibly. That's what they think sometimes. That's packed full of gunk and wax. That's a heavy ear. The airwaves aren't transmitting through the canal. You can't hear a thing. It's a heavy ear. Same idea if you're in the bottom of the swimming pool. Ever played the game, the bottom of the swimming pool, children, where you go right down the very bottom and your mates, they talk to you and see if you can hear them? No? No, we're too mature for that. Okay, well, you can try that sometimes. It's quite good fun. But a dull ear. But what's significant is this is not some sort of impaired hearing. For the word that's used in Isaiah chapter 6 is also used in Isaiah chapter 59 regarding the Lord's ear. His ear is not heavy that it cannot hear. And so what's in view here is not an impairment, but an inability to hear. But what I want you to notice closely is that this is a deliberate action. Look what it says. Their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed. Now, we're not going to take the time tonight to study it through, but the portion in Isaiah chapter 6 is quoted in different places in the Word of God in the New Testament, and at different points it points out a different feature. In John chapter 12, it's used to note the agency of God in shutting the ear. That's a fearful thing. That God would shut the ear that they would not hear. Say John 12 and the verse 40, where it says, "He hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart that they should not see with their eyes." It's used in Isaiah 6 as the work of the prophet of God. His faithfulness will shut the ears. That happens. You get a man of God being faithful in the pulpit. Over time, the people of God, due to his faithfulness, will shut their ears to hear. Which is how it's used in Matthew 13 and here in Acts 28. It's the deliberate suicidal action of the people of God, people themselves in view. They've closed their ears. They've shut their eyes that they would not hear. Turn over, please, to Zechariah. Zechariah, towards the end of the Old Testament, the penultimate book of the Old Testament, Zechariah chapter 7, just to see the parallel here. For know what it says here in Zechariah chapter 7, in light again of the Word of God speaking. "But they refused to hearken and pulled away the shoulder and stopped their ears that they should not hear. Yea, they made their hearts as an adamant stone, lest they should hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts has sent in his spirit by the former prophets. Therefore came a great wrath from the Lord of hosts." A deliberate, determined effort not to hear the word of God. You see, that's no big deal. Preacher, we have no obligation to hear you preach. Fine, that's true. But if a preacher is bringing the word of God to your ears and you determine in your heart not to listen to it, that's sin. It has to be sin. Because only for sin will great wrath come from the Lord of hosts. And so if you come to the house of God with a determined, deliberate attempt to not listen to the word of God, you are guilty of sin. That's how simple it is. And so that's the concern, but you'll note also back in Acts 28, we see the cause of this wickedness. "For the heart of this people is waxed gross."
Oh, we saw this in Zechariah 7. They made their heart as the adamant stone. The hard heart, or here in the verse 27, waxed gross. Literally a fat heart. Now we're going to come to heart on Sunday morning, Lord willing. But here we see that this fat heart renders the ear dull. Over in Acts chapter 7, you can turn back there. In Acts chapter 7 and the verse number 51, the heart and the ear is joined together in the preaching of Stephen. Acts 7 verse 51, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do you. What's it saying here? The fat heart that leads to the dull ear is an unconverted heart. And so you ought to really tremble in your soul if you come to the meetings in God's house with a determination not to hear, that it may well be a sign of a fat, unregenerate heart. And the great need in your soul is not to get waxed out of your ear, it's to get your heart renewed. In the words of Christ to Nicodemus, you must be born again. You see, the cause of this dull hearing is an unregenerate heart. But that's the concern and the cause of this wickedness. Notice the consequence very quickly. Look at the consequence. Lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and should be converted. So the consequence of this wickedness of dull hearing is rejection of God's offers of mercy. It's a rejection of the gospel. This is a gospel matter. This is a matter of your soul's salvation. It's not a matter of preacher being happy because people are listening to him. It's a matter of eternal consequence. For those who will not hear, they will not hear to the ruin of their souls. It's a heart matter. How's your hearing today? How's your hearing tonight? Dull hearing of the Word of God is always a bad spiritual sign. Dull hearing of the Word of God is always a sign of spiritual ill health. It may be the sign of a dead, unregenerate heart, or it may be a sign of a backslidden, cold heart. But whenever people come to the house of God with a dull ear and a closed eye, they're not in the right place with the Lord. And so that's the wickedness of the dull ear and the closed eye. But lastly, I want you to note the work of the opening of the ear and the sight to the blind. You see, what's interesting is that Isaiah chapter 6 is quoted, which speaks of God's act of judgment. And the apostle used it to deal with the wickedness of those who reject the gospel. And so when you think about the opening of the eye and the opening of the ear, it must be seen, first of all, as a work of God. It's God's work. You see and you hear because of the gift of the eye and the ear. That's true physically. But it's also true spiritually. Because look at verse number 28. And for there the apostle says, they will hear it. How can he be so confident? Because God will open the ear. You see, even in the Jewish company, those who believe do so because God has opened the ear. You could turn back very quickly to Matthew 13. Matthew 13. And our Lord is dealing with the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Verse 11. Unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. And how does our Lord explain that? Verse number 16. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. So the giving of the sight of the kingdom of heaven and an ear to understand the kingdom of heaven is a gift that God gives. Their ears are blessed and their eyes are blessed, not because of themselves, but because God in sovereign mercy has opened the eyes. You see, turn over lastly to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and the verse number 9. Again, remember my former minister now, the moderator for our denomination, often quotes this text and reminds us that whilst we may see references to heaven and glory, that ultimately this text is referring to the gospel. And it says in the verse number 9, "I hath not seen, nor ear heard." Again, the same context. The eye and the ear, not seeing, not hearing. "Neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit." If you're a believer tonight, and you see the glory of Christ, and you hear the majesty of the gospel, you do so because God, in sovereign mercy, has opened your ears and opened your eyes and enabled you to see the glory of Christ. It's a sovereign gift of God. And so if you leave this meeting tonight with no other thought in your mind, go home and praise the Lord that you're saved tonight. You're not saved because you in some way deserved it or because you had a special gift of hearing. You're saved because God changed your heart and opened your eyes and opened your ears and you heard the gospel of Christ. But sadly, there are some here and you do not see and you do not hear. And your only hope is to go to the great physician and fall upon God for mercy and say, "Open my ears and open my eyes that I would see and hear the gospel." Because turning back to Acts 28, you will see when God opens the ear and opens the eyes, the consequence is that you will understand with your heart and be converted. In the writings of the Apostle Paul, in Galatians chapter 3, he speaks about something known as the hearing of faith. I said the last portion to turn to, that's not true. Turn to Hebrews 4. Hebrews 4. For I want you to see these, I want you to see these words with your own eyes and hear them with your own ears. For it speaks about some who seem to come short of it, the promise. Verse 2 of chapter 4 of Hebrews, "For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." This is true hearing. True hearing of the word of God is a hearing that hears the gospel preached. It is a hearing that hears about one and only Savior. A hearing that when Christ is proclaimed, they do not only hear with the ear, but they hear with the heart of faith. So that if you're in this meeting tonight, and I tell you that Christ is your only hope and the only Savior of sinners, you can say in your heart, "Amen, and he's my Savior." And when you contemplate the cross for Christ, and you see him, as it were, with the spiritual eye, and you see him hanging and bleeding there for sin, you say, "He loved me and gave himself for me." And you hear the gospel, and you hear how he died and was buried and rose again. And you say, "Amen, preacher, he is not dead, he's alive." And you hear the words with your ears, but more than that, you believe it in your heart. And you rejoice in your soul that not only is Christ our Savior, he's my Savior. And not only did Christ die for sins generally, but he died for my sins. He was buried for my sins. And he rose again for my justification. And even now he ever lives making intercession for me. And when you hear those familiar words, it is not simply airwaves entering the canal of your ear, but it enters into the canal of your heart. And your heart is filled with joy. And you say, yes, that is my Savior. And the hearing is mixed with faith. And so can I look you all in the eye, as it were, and ask you, have you heard the message of the gospel? Oh, you've heard multiple sermons. You've heard the gospel preached. I imagine all of you have heard the gospel preached many, many times. But are there some of you here and yet you have not heard? To this point in your life, you still have not actually heard the gospel. If so, your ear is dull of hearing, and great wrath comes upon those of dull hearing. So I urge you tonight to examine your heart, to come to the physician of the Word of God, to come to the doctor of Scripture, and come to the doctor, God Himself, and say, Lord God, I do not hear as I ought. I do not see as I ought. Grant me like Bartimaeus, Lord, have mercy. Son of David, have mercy on me. Would you pray out tonight? Let God open your heart to receive with faith the gospel to the saving of your soul. Amen. May God be pleased to bless His word to your hearts tonight.